Would you pray with me? God in heaven, I want to thank you so much for this morning as we get a chance to dive into your word once again and hear these amazing truths. Lord God, I do want to pray for as the end of the series, as we close it out, I pray that you would just not allow these truths we've been talking through your word to be forgotten tomorrow, to be forgotten next week or next month. Because these things are foundational to who we are in you and as human beings. And so, Lord, God, I just pray that you would once again speak to every heart and mind these truths and allow them to really sink deeply into our DNA as we have been created in your image. Lord God, I want to pray for anyone who is new to ECC or just new to church in general, new to the gospel, Lord God, that you would be able to just help them understand who you are and what you have done for them. And as we highlight the gospel this morning and these truths that penetrate far into the bone and marrow of each body, God, I pray that you would be honored through that. So thank you so much for this chance once again. And we pray that together in Jesus' name. And all the church said, and Judah did as well. Thank you, Judah. All right, my six-month-old. Speaking of Judah, I hope you all had a great week this week. We had some exciting news in the family. So Becky's sister Maria gave birth to her first baby girl, Isabella. And so we're all super excited about that. And Becky and Judah had a chance to go and visit. And of course, they had some really cute cousin time. And so, you know, it's like, man, when you get pictures like this, you just got to share them, right? And naturally, what you would expect, I mean, you know, Becky, and you know, they went out to dinner a little bit. They went and did some sightseeing and different things. But when you allow your wife to get away for a whole week with a sister, man, you don't realize what kind of things they can do. And so they even went to, Becky took Judah to an Elvis impersonation concert. And then, I mean, I don't know what company would allow this, but they even went skydiving while they were there. And, but you know, I was like, okay, well, if they can have fun, I can have fun too. So I decided to be, start a new, you know, pastor by day, rock star gym influencer by night. Now, there's actually a really funny story behind this, and I'll share it at the men's group. So if you want to come Wednesday at 6:30, you can hear that story. But, you know, I was thinking about these different things, and it's like, you know, we can, you know, just in case you were concerned about the skydiving thing, yes, it's all fake, it's all AI is what we're talking about today. But, and how many of you, just a show of hands, are familiar with these filters, right? How many of you are using them? Okay, don't be shy, right? All right, so even here in Wallowa County, at the end of the road, AI, right, we understand some of this, right? And, you know, and just be sure, yes, Becky did go, and yes, that picture was real of Judah and Isabella and all that. The rest of these are fake, all right, so don't worry about that. But I was thinking about how this is, you know, so many varying opinions on this topic of AI, and you say, well, why are you talking about AI in an identity series? Well, that's a great question I'm going to hopefully answer here in a moment. But, you know, I was thinking about so many people have different spectrums of, like, some are, like, really excited, and it's like, wow, AI is amazing. I can't believe we can do all these crazy filter things. To then the other side of it's like, this is the scariest thing that I've ever experienced. I don't want anything to do with it. Right? And somewhere in between kind of lies everybody else. And so this topic is one of those where you think, okay, where's my chapter and verse for artificial intelligence? Well, we're going to get there, and really it's about thinking wisely around what we are to be stewarding. And that's the direction we're going to go this morning. So quick recap here. We started with week one, whose are you? All right, if you missed week one, you really missed the foundational sermons in the series that laid who are we, and not just who are we, but whose are we, because we are attached to someone or something. I relay that foundation of our identity we find in someone or something. That might be a career, that might be a relationship, that might be whatever. But if we don't understand whose we are in Christ, that makes all the difference. And that's a foundation that we can stand firm on. Everything else is sifting sand. All right, week two, we talked about that foundation then gives us clarity to understand we are image bearers, right? We are created by God, and he has given us his image. And then week two, we talked about how oftentimes the productivity of life, we find our identity in our jobs and our success and all that. And Kevin shared that, hey, we can't rest in those things. We can't find an identity because even those are fleeting. Last week, we talked a very timely topic on gender confusion and the reality of the deep fear, okay, that's driving people away from the truth about who God made them to be. All right, these are foundational things that we got to come back to. And so today, again, we're understanding AI, and really not just AI, but the concern, okay, we notice the sermon title today, Outsourcing Humanity. Okay, there's a concern that as we continue down this road of technology, we might begin to be outsourcing who God has made us to be. All right, and so that's where we're going to be today. We're going to talk about some of these things. And again, I love how this is a fourth Sunday. So we have Gen Z in the room. We have Gen Alpha in the room today. And if not you directly, this impacts, and maybe you just have a cell phone and you've done some FaceTiming with your grandkids that don't live nearby, okay? You probably used AI. Maybe you knew, maybe you didn't. But the reality is if not you directly, this is going to impact your kids. And if not your kids, your grandkids. Okay, this is going to be something where our generation maybe behind us is going to be impacted the most. And here's the thing. The scripture talks about how kids are arrows in our quiver, right? And what's the unique thing about an arrow? Here's what I don't want you to forget this, and we talk about this when it comes Mother's Day and Father's Day, because we're talking about parenting and raising kids, but listen, arrows are designed to go where the soldier cannot. All right, right now they're locked in the bow, about ready to be launched, okay, into the future, and this is going to be impacting their lives on an incredible level. And so we need to have this conversation now, and I'm sure it will be brought up again at some point, because it's going to continue to grow and become more and more of a, use the word disruptor in our society. And so, just as much as fire transformed our lives as we know, just as much as the wheel transformed things, I think AI could really be, in many ways, a new major transition. So what is artificial intelligence? Well, let's just get on the same page. Let's start with kind of the ground floor stuff, and then we'll work from there. Artificial, meaning man-made, not God-given. That's a really important distinction we're going to use here, okay? It's artificial, it's man-made. Think of a man-made lake versus a natural lake. Doesn't mean it's bad, just means that it's man-made, okay? So we've got to understand that. The intelligence, what are we saying when we say intelligence? I like this phrase, okay? That it's operationalized, not neurological. Operational meaning that it's good to complete tasks. It has an intelligence to be able to say, okay, I'm going to organize a massive amount of data. And just the AV in here, I don't know if I told you, I have two videos today. We're going to watch one here in just a minute, so you might just be ready for that. All right, so we're going to talk about how much massive amounts of data AI is able to process. And then, really, and how it transforms and can be a major help to us as humans. Whereas human intelligence is not just about information, it's about information that we intentionally and comprehensively and really can be transformed through not just our minds, but our embodied experience. Okay, so even what we talked about last week, that we've been created with a body, male and female, God intentionally created them, that embodiment, our humanity, does matter biblically. As again, we're going to unpack that a little bit more here too. And so, yes, we know AI can already do some pretty incredible things. It can solve really tough math equations. It can write stories. It can create pictures and images. It can even take a still image and then create action to it and make it look very realistic. Okay, it can beat humans at chess. AI can drive cars. It can even diagnose diseases. Okay, there's all kinds of things that AI is being used for. But what AI cannot do is give hugs, right? Like, unless you're wealthy enough to buy one of those robots, and maybe I guess it could give you a metal hug, and that's fine, right? Whatever. But it can't give you real human flesh hugs. It can't love you. Now, we're going to talk about this here in a minute, because there's a lot of relational AI stuff that's going on. But listen, love is a choice. Right? The only way that you can love me or I can love you is if I choose to do so. And it's a choice because I could also choose not to. That's how you know it's a choice. You can either do it or not. We see this in the fall account, Genesis 3. All right? God said you have a choice. You either do what I say or take your own autonomy and do whatever you think is best. And what do we do? All right, we failed the test, we took our own way, and now we're suffering the consequences of that. It's that same choice that God gave us, that friendships, right, love, we have to have a choice to not love or to not be a friend before those relationships can be real and authentic. All right, but if you're just programmed to love, well, it doesn't really count. It's not true, authentic love. AI can never pray. Okay, it can mimic human behavior, maybe like praying, or like a lot of other things. It can simulate conversations. It can simulate emotions. It can even be creative. But AI can never bear God's image. Remember, artificial. It's man-made, not God-made. And from the beginning, we're going to talk about how God created humans uniquely in this kind of way. And so we're going to see here over the next, again, decade or years to come down the road, a shift, and we're going to have to think clearly and wisely around this kind of thing. And I want to use an illustration because this is really important, then we'll get into Genesis chapter 1 and 2, is if you go, any brand loyalty people in here? Apple? Any Apple loyaltyists in here? That was just a beard scratch. Yeah, I see one. I'll just pick on Trevor because he's all Apple, right? He loves Apple. He's all about it. What about, let's go trucks. Chevy loyalists in here? Oh, yeah, I got a few brave people willing to laser. What about Ford? Ford people? Who do we have in here? All right, Ford people? All right, yeah. You farmers, you got Case people in here. We got John Deere folk, right? Okay, if you went to a dealer... All right, I don't know. We can just pick any of them. Let's pretend we go to a Ford dealership, okay? And we'll go to this. Well, Chevy dealership. We see the big bow tie, but we're a Ford guy, all right? And I say, you know what, Chevy dealer, I want to buy a Ford from you. Now, are they going to be real happy about that? Now, if it's a used car, they may have all kinds of different things. But if you're buying a new vehicle, they're going to sell you a new Chevy, right? Don't be coming to the Chevy dealership for a Ford. It's the same, pick on Trevor, right? If you, what a nice Android. If you tell Trevor that, some of you are like, what's that? Trevor knows. If you say, if you told him it was a nice Android, he's like, no, this is an iPhone. This is an Android, not a Samsung, okay? Because he's brand loyal. Well, in the same way, what we see here, and really the danger what becomes is we begin to shift the things that God gave to humanity over to AI, or we allow that to become a thing where all of a sudden we're exchanging our God-given identity. Let's just pretend it's a Chevy, and we're saying, well, I want a Ford. See, we're redefining, we're going to a source and saying, hey, well, God, I want this, but actually I want something different. And so when we go to the source of humanity, we have to go back to how God created it. And so that's what, again, is so foundational for this series. And so in Genesis 1:27, we see, and we've looked at this passage a number of times already this series, okay, so God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. Now, I'm not going to belabor this passage too much because, again, we've hit it so often, but we got to ask the question, well, how did God do this? See, in Genesis 2, we actually go into more details around how he did this. So, Genesis 2:7, then God, the Lord God, formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. See, he went from something that was just material, and he does something unique to human life, and he breathes life into it. And in that moment, he's giving us a soul. He's creating us as his image. And that's where you get into some of this where AI will never be able to do that. Again, AI can and does and will always bear human image, but not the image of God. And this is a distinction that we have to keep coming back to. And so not only is he breathe the breath of life into us, but then later on in Genesis 1:28, so we know how he does it, he gave us the breath of life. In 28, then he says, then God blessed the man and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. Subdue it, in other translations. Reign over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and the animals that scurry along the ground. Now, a lot of people, and rightly so, and I would agree with, take this passage and say, okay, we got to take care of the earth. Okay, we got to take care of the animals. We got to take care of the birds, right? We got to be mindful of pollution and all those kinds of things. And yes and amen to all of that. Okay, I think that is, in part, what this verse is talking about. But notice here, fill the earth and govern it. Okay, this isn't just about making babies, although that's a fun, great part of it. This is about a holistic responsibility that we have to govern what is in creation and, frankly, in the things that we use from creation and then be created within ourselves. And so I'm going to apply technology to this as well, to be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. That means we need to govern these things and be good stewards of what we have here. And I would also appeal to Proverbs 22:3. A prudent person foresees danger and takes precautions. The simpleton goes blindly on and suffers the consequences. We need to have foresight into these new tools, these new tech things that we're dealing with. Otherwise, we start slipping into the same concerns that Paul had for the church in Rome. Be mindful of Rome was the powerhouse, the great, you could say technology, industry. They were the leader in all of these kinds of things, very much like America is today, right? And he wrote in chapter 1 to the Roman church, he says this, they exchanged the truth about God for a lie, and they worshiped. Listen. They worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator. And church, I will argue that if technology isn't already an idol, it will only increasingly gain in popularity. And so we have to be very mindful of that slippery slope that we are in. And so, where do we go from here? All right, we got to first understand that AI is, as we had a few brave souls raise their hand, okay, recognize that AI is around us. I mean, it's a part of everyday life, from our smartphones to Netflix recommendations to Google Maps finding you the fastest route to the thermostat in your home possibly could be ran by AI, okay? Agriculture, I was just talking with Kevin yesterday, talking about self-driving tractors, okay? That's a thing, all right? You got any expectations of how Seattle's going to do, all right? Right, if you watch the NFL, okay, and then during the transitions to commercials, what is it always saying? It says, NFL run by AWS, right? That's AI, all right? So even the analytics that the players produce, the predictive outcomes, the optimizing the strategies, okay, AWS is behind a lot of that, again, calculating this mass amount of information. Even businesses. Now, this is actually already just 2 years old. Okay, this is a 2024 stat. But in 2024, 92% of Fortune 500 companies were using OpenAI platforms. That's 2 years ago, 92%. Okay, even in the medical field, right, AI things are being used. Even, hey, check this out. Even in the gospel, right, for the advancement of the gospel, you know what? Some really great things have been happening. I got this from the Gospel Coalition. In traditional models, the average translation of the Bible will take 23 years and cost over $1 million. Okay? But the use of AI-assisted models takes about 4 years to produce a complete Bible. And they can do that for roughly $500,000. Yeah, this is the Gospel Coalition's website. And so AI is a powerful tool. Many good things are happening because of this new technology. But again, we must govern it. We must be good stewards of what we have in front of us. And so what I want to do for the rest of our time this morning, I want to do kind of three things. We're going to watch a short clip that talks about and explains how AI works and understanding. There's this term, large language models, called LLMs, okay? That's this massive amount of data and what AI can process. And then we're going to understand the trajectory of where things are going and some of the positive things, but then some of the real concerning aspects of it. And then we're going to draw some biblical lines. Hey, where do we need to draw a line in the sand of where things are going? And so this first video we're going to watch is actually an interview with Zach Coffin. And Zach Coffin, if you're staying for the adult Sunday school class, we're talking about church leadership. It's through E2 Elders. E2 Elders does other podcasty kinds of things. And there was a leadership podcast with Zach Coffin, who's kind of leading in this industry of AI. But as a Christian, how do we think through it biblically? And so it's an hour and a half long. What I want to do is look at just a little clip of it. He does a good job of explaining it. But then I also want to challenge you all to go and watch this. Because, again, as Christians, we need to think biblically around what is it and how do we understand it moving forward into the future. And so a lot of the information that I'm sharing with you today is from this, but also I've got other sources that I've been using as well. So we're going to make this video, the full length of it, available on our website. So after today, you can go on our website, click the link, and then watch this and hopefully gain more from that. And so, with that in mind, let's go ahead and watch this clip.
Generative AI refers to artificial intelligence systems capable of generating text, images, actions, or other media in response to prompts, using complex algorithm models trained on large data sets to produce creative and original outputs. And so, AI itself has been around for a really long time. What makes today different is the generative nature of these AI tools, that it's taking these large data sets, looking for patterns within that data, and then predicting and making a guess of what is next in that pattern. Again, what makes this so profound is the vast amount of data that these tools are consuming and how fast they can consume these tools. And so I want to share a really quick video with us, kind of helping us understand just the amazing, incredible amount of data that these generative AI tools are actually able to devour and understand.
If someone did nothing but read 24 hours a day for their entire life, they'd consume 8 billion words. And of course, that's a lot of words. But today, the most advanced AIs consume more than 8 trillion words in a single month of training. And all of this is set to continue. The long arc of technological history is now in an extraordinary new phase.
Bart, my teammate, says all the time, this is the worst these tools are ever going to be. This is the slowest these tools are going to ever be. And again, we have to understand that these large language models, ChatGPT, Gemini, Copilot, Claude, Gronk, these large language models, they're taking this huge amount of data and then looking for these patterns. And so what is generative AI? Think of generative AI as a supercharged autocomplete. It predicts and generates responses based on the pattern that it's learning. So it's building these predictions and it's creating this ton of disruption. Because of this disruption, it's getting built into everything. And it makes me think about people go, well, generative AI, like, It's just going to go away. It's just going to go away. It's not really going to last. I go, no, it's going to change everything. And it always makes me think about back when the calculator came on. You know, when the calculator came on board, math teachers actually protested the calculator because they're like, well, how are kids going to learn math picketing the calculator? Now we would think that that's crazy. Of course, we're going to use a calculator, of course. And even now, I don't even have to use a calculator. I can just ask ChatGPT. I can just read it. We homeschool our kids. And if there's a problem that my kids get stuck on, I can just talk to Chat and say, hey, Chat, here's the equation. Explain this to me. And Chat will explain it to me. And then I can actually learn that way. You know, this interesting article, it blocks ChatGPT in the schools. I think the reality of this is recognizing these tools aren't going anywhere, and we have a choice. We can either run from them and pretend and stick our head in the ground and pretend they're not there, or we can begin to learn how to use them and deploy the technology in positive ways.
And so you can see, like, this is why it matters that we have this conversation, because it is. It's impacting on so many levels. And so I would encourage you, again, after today, go ahead and check out that more full-length conversation, about an hour and a half long. And he talks about three myths that we currently have today, things like, is AI unethical versus inherently harmful, talking about understanding, what are we really talking about when we address AI, and even how it makes decisions. decisions and things like that. So I'm going to kind of leave it there of what is AI. Let's talk about the trajectory of AI. What do we say? We say the future. And there's a word that you might have probably have already heard if you're watching the news or things like that, is this phrase transhumanism, all right? And so there's our website. I just was encouraging you. That's what it looks like. If you haven't been to our website, go to our website, go check out the sermons page, and then you'll be able to click today's link on there. But this definition for transhumanism, okay? I'm just curious. Anyone heard this word before? You might have to learn some new vocabulary, okay, today. And so that's good. We're learning here. This is good stuff. Transhumanism is a movement that advocates for the use of advanced technology to enhance human capabilities, aiming to transcend biological limitations of the human body and improve the human condition. Psychologically, how we think and feel, and sociology, how we live. And so, that doesn't, in definition form, doesn't sound particularly bad, especially how it's being applied right now in some of the health things. Like, for example, Elon Musk and Neuralink. Okay, no, I'm not advocating whether you like or don't like Elon Musk, whatever. You can think whatever you want to think. But, you know, Neuralink is implanting brain chips for people that are that have disabilities. And so here's another video that I want to show you just to show you the real power. So it isn't just about editing emails or making goofy things on your cell phone, right? It's also doing some things that are really incredible for people with disabilities. So let's take another quick look at this.
Elon Musk's brain chip startup Neuralink live streamed its first patient moving a cursor on a computer using an implanted device. In a 9-minute live stream on X, Nolan Arbaugh uses the cursor to play chess online. Now, the 29-year-old was in a diving accident 8 years ago that left him paralyzed from the shoulders down. The company's goal is to connect human brains to computers to help tackle complex neurological conditions.
The surgery was super easy. I literally was released from the hospital a day later. I have no cognitive impairments.
Neuralink was given permission to test the chip on humans by the Food and Drug Administration in May of last year.
All right. I hope you hear me when I'm sharing to you these things. I am not advocating that we should all be fully embracing AI. I'm also not saying that we should be demonizing AI. I'm wanting to paint a clear picture of where we are today. Okay, where we are right now. Because if we don't understand where we are right now, we're going to miss where we're going to be in 10 years from now. And again, that's where I think our kids, our grandkids, they're going to be probably the ones even more impacted by some of the reality of all of this. And so that's, again, I think maybe a great use for AI and technology and the things that can be happening. But I also want to highlight that Elon Musk also recognizes the dangers that are at play. In Supply Chain Today, he was quoted saying that if artificial intelligence, we're summoning the demon, okay, in his very, you know, Elon Musk kind of way. He gets to the point. Here's another one. Ray Kurzweil, I think is how you pronounce his last name. He's the Google Director of Engineering. Okay, this is where things, I think, in my humble opinion, start getting too far, right? We got to start asking the question, where do we draw the line? Because when he was asked, does God exist? He says, well, not yet. Interesting. And it's important to understand, again, who's in the driver's seat of AI. So these developers, these engineers who are thinking through, okay, we've got to be mindful of this. Here's how we're applying it now. Where do we want to go in the future? And this is where, again, that transhumanism idea becomes a little bit concerning. And then he even went on to say, by 2045, humans will merge with AI and achieve immortality. So you can begin to understand, like, our kids, our grandkids, like, they need to be savvy to these things as well and be grounded in whose they are, not just letting the world and culture dictate those things. And I'll give you one more quote, and then we'll move on to give us some foundation. Stephen Hawking, who passed away in 2018 and was a staunch atheist but a world-renowned physicist, He makes this comment about AI because in 2018, it's still very much in its infancy phases. Some would argue it still kind of is as far as the growth potential. But even as it was coming on the scene, he says this about AI. He says, success in creating AI would be the biggest event in human history. Unfortunately, it might also be the last unless we learn how to avoid the risks. What I love about this quote, again, this is sort of really AI still in its infancy. Even Stephen Hawking, the staunch atheist, would agree with Genesis 1:28 that we are to govern it, right? That we are to be stewards wisely of what is here in creation. And so, despite all these things, the great concern, you might already get this, the great concern is that about transhumanism is the attempt to replace the essential areas that God gave to humanity. I'm going to skip through some of this stuff. You might have heard of the lonely epidemic that is here. All right, some of these stats are from 2004, but I mean, you got 61% of Americans reporting feeling lonely, 73% of Gen Z feeling alone, even though they're surrounded by people. Okay, what are they're lacking relationship, authentic relationship. I like this one here. 50% prefer to ask a bot rather than their boss for help. Okay. Because of this lonely epidemic, you see the AI companion industry, and I say industry, it is an industry, 10 plus million users are using these things to build AI relationships. And this is where, again, you know, who needs a marriage conference in a couple weekends? We can just go get a bot that will always agree with you. All right, there we go. Marriage conference, we'll just cancel it, okay? We'll just go get a bot, take care of things. Ha ha, just joking. Come, I hope you're here for this, okay? We all need to grow in that. All right. Sherry Turkle puts a really fine point on this. We're raising a generation that prefers the company of algorithms to the mess of actual humans. And if you've heard anything throughout these last 5 weeks, we've understood that the mess of humanity. Right? And again, it's a fine point because what we're saying here, and this is the lure, this is the concern, is that we're going to be lured into saying, okay, well, if I have a relationship with a bot that isn't going to harm me, that I don't actually have to risk anything to have a relationship with, because being a human and having a relationship with another human being is messy. But we got to move forward with confidence and who God has made us to be, and we're going to talk more about that here in a second. So, let me give you some framework today for how do we move forward with the rest of our time that is remaining. And I realize I'm probably going a little bit long this week, but forgive me, it is what it is. It's kind of like drinking through a fire hose. So, first one, people. Okay, people are being fully human is about being relational. And again, Genesis 2:18, it is not good for man that he should be alone. Okay, we have relationship built into us in our DNA as image bearers. Even God himself, the triune God, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, being in relationship for eternity, that is ingrained within us as part of our being created in his image. And so we want to love God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength. This is that same relationship that we would have with God. And so we see here, humanity is embodied community experience. Okay, it isn't just this our mind is being uploaded into some cloud. Okay, it is truly an embodied experience with relationship with one another. This is what it is to be human. And when you start thinking about even with our salvation in Christ, okay, 1 Corinthians 15, it is the same way with the resurrection from the dead. Our earthly bodies are planted in the ground when we die, but they will be raised to live forever. Again, this transhumanism promises, upload your mind, live forever. God promises, I'm going to raise your body. How about that? Imperishable, glorious, and powerful. All right, so we don't need Silicon Valley's immortality. We want Jesus' resurrection, amen? All right, so this is where we got to be, right? Again, drawing the line in the sand here. Here's where we got to be drawing the line. What about Luke 24 when Jesus himself comes back and he says, look at my hands, okay, look at my feet. Now, you can see that this real, touch it, right? Make sure that I'm not a ghost. And I only point this out to help us understand that Jesus conquered death in all power. And in all power, he could have made himself a pure spirit. but he revealed himself with a body, because that matters. He chose to remain embodied, not some, you know, with real flesh and bone, not just some transparent or ghostly figure. What's interesting about just the driving force, again, the 2045 becoming immortal, here's what's really interesting is in Ecclesiastes, okay, yet God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. Even the desire to become immortal is given from God. How about that? Right? Like, he just doesn't give God credit. But even God has planted eternity in the human heart. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from the beginning to end. So my point here, you don't need to escape your body. Christ came to redeem your body. And when we recognize the mess of humanity is the mess of sin. We talk about this here, right? The fracturing of being an image bearer because of sin, and now the risk of relationship is there. The risk of needing to be forgiven by someone else. The risk that I have to hurt my kids or my wife, say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing. Right? This is a relationship that has risk involved in it, to be vulnerable to somebody. And that vulnerability means that somebody could take your vulnerability and take advantage of that. This is the mess. This is the risk of what it is to be human. But I think Brené Brown speaks well to this, that vulnerability is not weakness. It is our greatest measure of courage. Right? This is, again, a huge part of what it means to be human. And this is where you go into those relationships of AI. AI is connection without cost. Okay, relationship without rejection, intimacy without vulnerability, companionship without conflict. Sounds pretty amazing, except it's artificial. Again, it's man-made. And if it can't choose to love you, then there's no real love that's actually being revealed. Now, hear me on this, because this is where it gets really tricky. It's not like I'm advocating that I want people to feel the experience of rejection. It's not like I want people to feel conflict in their life. It's not like I want people to feel pain and suffering and relationship strife. And hear me, neither does God. Again, in the beginning, it was all very good. But when we surrender these things to God, he never wastes the pain and the suffering and the rejection either. Like, this is why we need to be grounded in who Jesus is. Because in my marriage, I thank God for Becky. She's an amazing woman, and I have been transformed because of her being in my life. But you know what? I've had to be forgiven by Becky, and I've had to forgive Becky for things that she's done. With my kids, I love them to death. But you know what? God has used my marriage. He's used my kids to grow me in my patience, to temper my anger, to exercise that muscle of long suffering, because 18 years can be a long time, right, to raise kids. Parents, I say amen, amen, right? So when we hold someone's hand as they're nearing death, right, like that transforms you. The compassion and the love that you can care for someone in that moment, God doesn't waste those moments. And so I guess my point in this is that zero risk, zero growth, and zero real love. Okay, God uses all these things, good and bad moments, to make us who he wants us to be. And so we are people, and we are relational. This is essential to be human. All right, the second thing is place. Okay, being fully human is rooted in and being stewards of creation. Now, we already read in Genesis, so we don't have to go back there and camp out there too much more. But again, I want to highlight this, that he created Earth specifically and intentionally for humans to thrive and flourish. He blessed them. It says, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and govern it. And so, yes, and amen to making babies. That's all really good, right? But in this way, I think a part of that governing is, and being created in the images, problem solving. Think about this. Even the advent of AI, right? Why do we want artificial intelligence? Why is that such a good thing? Because we have problems that we want help solving, right? And so through this creation of AI, AI, it helps us problem solve. But guess what? Even in that, that's God's heart. Again, God has been problem solving from the beginning of creation. Did you miss it? Genesis 2:18. For it is not good for man to be alone. So he problem solved. All right, what did he do? He created a woman, a helper for man. All right, all the way through to the cross. For this is how God loved the world, that he gave his one and only son, that everyone who believes in him will not perish. Why is it such a big deal? Because people were perishing. People were spending eternity without God. And so he says, there's a problem that needs to be solved, and I'm going to send my son so that way people can have a way to eternal life. Right? God is a problem solver, and that is in the same way we create to solve problems. Even that bears the image of God. And I'll just highlight this. Like, you create because you were created for this place on earth to thrive and be fruitful. And being thriving and fruitful means we're going to be problem solvers. We're going to be good at trying to figure out what's the next thing that we can help with. And that bears the image of God. So we're not just about people. We're about place. We're also about prayer. Because being fully human is about being contemplative. Again, the temptation is that AI gives us all the answers, which frankly might be part of the problem. We have grown so impatient to wait for an answer, right? We just ask Google right now. We got a ChatGPT, it problem solves for us real quick. But that's why I say prayer, contemplation, is part of what it is to be human. Because prayer isn't about instant answers, it's about communion with God. Okay, waiting, silence, patience, trust. What does Psalm 46 say? Okay, be still and know that I'm God. Okay, even in the invitation to being still and knowing that may require some wrestling, and God invites us into that wrestling. That might require transformation, and God allows us through that waiting and that wrestling to be transformed and become the people that he's called us to be. Colossians 3 tells us, let the message about Christ in all its riches fill your lives. Okay, teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. But again, the problem becomes AI. We're all about speed, not depth. Okay, we're all about information, not transformation. We're all about instant gratification over patience and trust. But if we're honest, we can't be still while we're scrolling. Okay, you can't have the gospel of Christ in all its richness fill your life through an algorithm. It doesn't work like that. It was never meant to be. And lastly, to be human means we have a past, right? We are historically grounded. And this is where AI, it doesn't have any memory. It is data, right? It's information. That's what it's processing, this massive amount of information. But there's no history there. But we, you and I, are a part of a story that goes all the way back to Eden. Consider this. Even in Hebrews 12, right? There's a history because we are surrounded by such a crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, right? There's a history. There's a heritage. There's Abraham, Moses, and David, and the prophets who clung to these truths and the embodiment in the humanity that God gave them, okay? This is a part of what it is to be human. Even to remember going to the Samuel passage here, right? And building Ebenezer. God said, build an Ebenezer. And every time my presence was revealed, show this pile of rocks or this boulder. And in Samuel, he did this because up to this point, the Lord has helped us, he said. All right, this is so important to understand what he was saying here, that God has been with us, that he has been faithful, and we dare not forget. Ebenezers, reminders of the Exodus, reminders of wandering in the wilderness and God's faithfulness through manna to take care of his people, crossing the Jordan and the 12 stones of the testimony that God would have there. So every time people would cross that moment, they would see this and remember what God had done. Even today, we're going to be taking communion here in a moment, right? Even today, we have an Ebenezer with Jesus' body and blood that we would remember, that we would dare not forget what he has done for us. And so here we are. I want to leave you three action steps, three things of how we can move forward today. The first one is we need to audit our tech. Audit it. Okay, so let's ask some questions here. Where is technology making you more human? Maybe it's allowing you to be more efficient at your work, which gives you more time to be relational, because that's a part of what it is to be human. And so instead of, right, spending more time doing something at work, now you can spend more time doing something with your kids. That's maybe a step to being more human. Right? How is it helping you navigate those things? Here's another question. Where is tech making you less human? Is it making you more isolated? More distracted? Is it in some way replacing relationships? Is it helping me love God better or not? And if so, then we need to be honest about what needs to change so we audit our tech. And I would encourage families, make it a family conversation, because what did I say? Your kids, your grandkids, it's going to be impacting them in a very tangible way. And so I think they could be helpful in having a voice into this as we ground them in God's word. All right, number two, be wise for the times. Okay, we cannot live in fear on this stuff, and we dare not live in ignorance on this stuff. And so we got to be willing to learn more, okay, and be aware of the times we live in. And I'm reminded of in Daniel 3, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, they were immersed in Babylonian culture. They were immersed in around kings and a culture that was not God-honoring at all, around pagan worship and all this. And eventually, they had to draw a line in the sand. Right, you might recall the moment where push came to shove, and King Nebuchadnezzar built his idol, and he says, all right, now bow to the idol. And these three guys were not. And the word got out. King Neb flipped his lid. He freaks out. He's like, no, you're going to bow to this, or you're going to die. And what did they say in Daniel chapter 3, verse 18? That we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you have created. It's artificial. It was man-made. Because they knew whose they were, they could have confidence in who they were not. Right? And they weren't going to bow to this. And so these faithful Jewish men called it out and even risked their lives for it. But they knew that they were erring on the side of right. And so, you know, we got to understand technology is a tool for God's glory, but never compromise it in your relationship with God. All right, number three, we got to practice these four P's. Okay, be aware of who needs your embodied presence. I'm using that embodied presence because we're human beings living in a body. Okay, that's important. So our embodied presence this week, this month, this year, right? To be relational, to be one-on-one or in a group community setting. Right, to have a place to recognize like where you belong, to show up and then steward our community in that way, to be prayerful, right, that we would be contemplative and spending time with Jesus in silence, waiting, and wrestling, and to recognize the past, right, that we're rooted into a much bigger story that is so much bigger than you or I. And so the bottom line is that AI, you know, it's not our enemy, and it's certainly not our savior. It is a tool. And when we start asking tech to do what only God gave humans to do, then we've lost our foundation. And speaking of foundation, I want to circle back to the blood and the body of Jesus. Because and part of me wanting to do communion at the end, because as we're ending the series, as we're thinking about the embodiment of Christ himself, to recognize that here we are, that matters to God, Right? In John 1:14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Okay? It wasn't a hologram. It wasn't a virtual reality experience. It wasn't communicating through a screen. He came in bodily form. And that body lived a life. Perfect. So God could send him to be our sin's sacrifice. And one Thursday evening, he sat around a table with his closest friends, and he says, passed the bread around, and he said, "This is my body, broken for you." And then he passed the cup of wine, and he said, "Hey, this is my blood. And every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, remember me." This is an Ebenezer for us every single week. That not only are we created in the image of God, but that God would come the distance for us. That he would become flesh and bone and to live a life shoulder to shoulder along the same trials and challenges and pains and sufferings that we have. And he endured it to be our sin sacrifice. So as we close out the series, as we close out this morning, I want to take some time and reflect on that truth. To remember that this isn't just another series. This isn't just Old Testament passages that seem irrelevant from creation. These are foundational to who we are, and that we have an opportunity every Sunday to remember the incredible gift that Jesus gave. I'm going to pray, and then as you're led, feel free to partake of the communion together. God in heaven, I want to thank you for this morning. Lord God, as we have just touched on a topic that may seem kind of weird to even be speaking of in church, and yet here we are dealing with these kinds of things every single day. And so, Lord God, I pray that as we wrestle and continue to wrestle with these issues, would we not lose sight of who we are and who we've been created to be in Christ. That you would come the distance for us, that your flesh was broken, that you gave it all. And then when you resurrected from the tomb, Lord, you revealed to us, flesh and bone, that you were here, that you were real, and that you proved that you have victory over death. That we don't need to rely on some Silicon Valley tech to somehow bring immortality. You've already brought a resurrection. And Lord God, we bring hope and joy in that this life is not all that there is, but there is an eternity waiting with you because of this. So Father, we drink the blood today. We partake of your body today, remembering what you have done and the incredible gift that has come through Jesus Christ, our Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.